Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Reverend Ray, amen, on When the Christians Speak Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live, amen. I just want to make sure that everything is working according to plan, okay? We're going to talk about a couple of things, okay? Today's topic is Damascus Experience. Will change you. Damascus will stand, talking about what Saul and Paul had would change your life. So we're gonna dig real quick into that and take some time. What I would like to do right about now, okay? I just want to make sure everything is working according to plan. Right, good. All right, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and we're about to get started, okay? I want to remind everyone that Here's the Bound and Grace and Minister Benafter Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, amen, is the first and the third Friday. I'm sorry, the first, the second, and the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sundays. Amen, at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Monday broadcast as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Building the Beautiful with Reverend Nobita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Louis McElwain, amen, is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One, Reverend Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Alston is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. We do have a Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference number. The number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. We do have a new broadcast called Matters of the Heart Single Ministry with myself, Ray Rose, and Maggie, Pastor Maggie Wilson. Amen. And that's every third Friday at 7 p.m. Okay. With that being said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer and get started. Father God, I just want to come to thank you for the brand new day that you have given us, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your many blessings. Lord, we give this broadcast to you and pray that you would just have your way. You know everything there is to know about us, God. We know our ups, our downs, our tears, our frowns, Lord Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit, that only the words that may be spoken to encourage, to exhort, God, to restore hope may be spoken. Today, God, we thank you in advance for every miracle that you have performed just on this day alone, Lord Jesus. We will forever give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen, amen, and amen. So this is what I want to do. I was studying the word earlier, and I was trying to decide what's the rushing direction that I was going to go on, and I began to think about the Apostle Paul, Saul, before he was called Paul. So I want to read about this and everything. I'm talk a little bit more details about it. I'm not sure whether we'll be able to get all this done today, but we're going to go forward anyway on this Friday Night Joy, okay? And so the topic, again, is Damascus experience will change you. Truly, Saul had his name changed to Paul and everything. Like when you're confronted by the awesomeness of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, something will change in you. The things that you used to do that you all just don't do anymore. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, something automatically will change in you. And before we get into that, I want to go ahead and just give you a somewhat of a small background about Saul, okay? And this is what I found out just on Googles and just on some information I already knew and believed. But I just want to read a few things to you. It says that Saul was a devoted Jew, was from a devoted Jewish family based in the city of Tarsus. In other words, he was Saul of Tarsus, okay? It said the city itself was one of the largest centers of trade on the Mediterranean coast and renowned for its university. So, I mean, Tarsus had been among the most influential cities in Asia Minor since the time of Alexander the Great, who died in 323 BC. Okay. So just to give you an idea, he was a city boy. Okay. Came from a devout Jewish family. You know, he knew all the Jewish customs. He practiced them with his family. But let me read a couple more things for you, okay? It says, Paul referred to himself as being of the stock of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin. So in other words, he was a Benjamite, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He considered himself to be like a Pharisee. And you can find that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5. The Bible reveals very little about Paul's family. Acts quotes Paul's referring to his family as saying he was a Pharisee, born a Pharisee. You know, you know, it was a tradition to be a Pharisee, handed down to him and everything. And he was taught in the ways of the Pharisees. Now, I want to skip down just a little bit more. Okay, it says that while he was still fairly young, he was sent to Jerusalem to receive his education at the school of Gamaliel. Okay, and one of the most noted teachers of the Jewish law in the history, Gamaliel was one of the most noted history. So Paul was getting some good education here. Okay, it says one of the most noted teachers of Jewish law in history. Although modern scholarship agrees that Paul was educated under the supervision of Gamaliel in Jerusalem, he was not prepared to become a scholar of the Jewish law. In other words, that was not what something he wanted to do. He was not prepared to become a scholar of it. And probably never had any contact with the Hillelite school. Some of his family may have resided in Jerusalem since later the son of one of his sisters saved his life there. Nothing more is known of the biography until he takes an active part in the martyrdom of Stephen. And we're going to talk about that too. Amen. And what was going on with Stephen and why this took place. Amen. So we just got read that. Now I want to go to the actual scriptures here. The first scripture I want to pull up actually is talks about Stephen and everything. And this is coming out of Acts chapter 7. I want you to go forward and read what was taking place in Acts, all of Acts chapter 7. But I want to go to a couple of verses and stop at verse 54 to explain how Stephen plays a role into what was going on with Saul. Okay, how this all got started with Saul, how it was being a setup for Saul to have a Damascus experience that would change him. Okay, it's set up for y'all that even with me to have my Damascus experience that would change us. Okay. No doubt he was not expecting this to take place. He had already decided what he was going to do and how he was going to be. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself, and I don't want to do that. I want to paint a picture. I want to give you a storyline here of how this all got started. And Acts chapter 7, verses 54, it starts this. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, Stephen had given them a lot of information and everything, and the people at that time could not handle it. Stephen was one of the first deacons that the disciples laid their hands on, because they realized they can't do it all. So Stephen was one of the first, okay, and everything like that. So Stephen is filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's telling the truth, and the truth did not set these people free, because the scripture said they would cut their heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, they were, when I think of the word gnashed, I'm thinking about, look, they tried to bite him, you know, they were not happy with him, okay, they was very angry at him. Maybe back in the day when we were growing up, we call him gritting the teeth, and I think maybe the same thing, I don't know, but it says, the scripture, verse 5 says, but he, being filled of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Can you imagine the glory that he saw when he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand and everything like that? Because he was willing to preach and teach the gospel, because he had made a decision that he was going to tell the truth about Jesus Christ and about that Christ died, because, y'all, it was an experience that was about to set someone else up. Because no doubt, again, Saul at that time had no idea what was going to take place, but he was being set up. He was about to have a Damascus experience. Okay, 57. Then they cried, those that was around him. Okay, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. In other words, with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. The witnesses, you know, at that time, I believe it was at the beginning that Saul was beginning to come into prominence. He was beginning to come of a man of importance and everything like that. Because they cried out loud, but the loud voice stopped their ears and ran upon them with one accord and cast them out of the city and stoned them. And verse 59 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He had just saw the glory of God and Jesus Christ. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, the scripture said that he fell asleep. They're still stoning him. And the scripture said that he kneeled down and cried unto the with a loud voice, lay not this, don't hold this against them, Lord. don't put this in them in the book that is written about what they did. Don't lay this charge against them. The scripture said he fell asleep. And in the midst of all of that, you can see that there was Saul. There was Saul. Then I want to go to Acts chapter 1, and I'm not going to read all of it, just Acts chapter 1, because I'm trying to build a case here. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, Saul, this made Saul pretty happy of what he saw, okay? He was well pleased that this took place with Stephen, okay? Just that he was consenting in a death. Never before Saul felt like that Stephen should have been put to death for what he said. So no doubt probably heard everything that Stephen said, because he had to hear it himself. So he was walking. In fact, I will be willing to bet that Saul at that time was one of the instigators that thought that Stephen should be stoned to death. Okay, remember, he was Saul at that time had a zeal for the things of the Hebrew, the Israelites. He had a zeal for the things of the Pharisees. So anything that was contrary and everything to what he would believe, it was heresy. And he was willing for that person to be put to death. It says, let me continue reading on. And Saul was continuing unto them. And at that time, excuse me, okay, I just had to sneeze. God bless me. Okay. And it says that, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There were people that began to scatter because Saul was doing some crazy things, man. He was doing some crazy things. Yes, he was. Let me get back here. So Saul was doing some things, man. So they said that everybody began to scatter. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He was throwing people in jail left and right and stuff like that. You know, he was throwing people in jail left and right. And see, verse 4 said, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And what he didn't realize, Saul, at that time, that was about to have a Damascus experience, is that he was helping the spread the very thing that he was trying to stop. You know something, though? He was helping to spread the very thing that he was trying to bring an end to, that he was trying to throw people in jail. The very thing that he was trying to do, he was helping to do. Now, real quick, I want to go ahead and we're going to get into Acts chapter 9. And let's start at verse 1. Because this is where the story takes a whole new turn, a whole new outlet based off the fact that about the Damascus experience, okay? And again, I'm not sure how much we're going to get through this, but I want to make sure that we get through the bulk of it, okay? So let's begin to read Acts chapter 9, verses 1, and it says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. Now, he's going around about, he's threatening people and he's slaughtering people against anybody that called on the name of Jesus, okay? So Saul decided to go to the high priest. And verse 2 says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now he's going to a whole new city willing to do this. He decided that he wanted to bring some letters from the high priest to prove that he was official, that he had the power and authority to go into anybody's house that was considered to be he found any of this way. Because back in that day, they didn't call them Christians. They were called of the way in everything. Of the way, because it was opposite and it was heresy of what they believed in as far as their Jews faith. And anything that was listed, anyone that was called as a Christian, it actually was a slight. It was a name calling to be called Christian. So it wasn't a good thing at that time, even though history has changed that, to be called a Christian. So they called them of the way. Okay, in verse 3 says, and he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly, y'all, he came near Damascus. He didn't make it to the city because he was on a destination, a destination that was about to take place in his life. He was about to have an experience that would change his whole life around. And it says, verse 3 says again, he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly that shine around about him a light from heaven. I love the word, how the scripture said that there suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven, all about him. Suddenly, it didn't come all at one time and stuff, but it was suddenly. When I think of the word suddenly, I think about it being instantaneously and everything. And the scripture said, verse 4, Acts chapter 9, verse 4 said, he fell to the earth and heard a voice unto him. Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, it's because he fell to the earth and heard a voice say to Saul. You know, when I was growing up, and it was not always a good thing if your mother or your father had to call your name twice. They expected you to answer the call the first time. So if they had to call your name twice, you really was going to be in trouble. But he in this example, here's Jesus calling Saul's name. He wanted to make sure Saul knew, hey, I am talking to you. I need your attention. Saul, why persecute this me? Why are you persecuting me? And why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you getting the letter to persecute the people that I have called, that I have blessed, give them the Holy Spirit? Why are you trying to kill them? Why are you trying to throw men and women in jail that believes in me? Saul, why persecutest thou me? Chapter 9, verse 5 says, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for these to kick against the pricks. He said, I am Jesus. Saul didn't recognize Jesus' voice. Saul knew that he was the Lord and everything like that. So he was showing him the honor that was due, but he didn't recognize Jesus' voice. But all he knew that there was this great light that shined upon him from the heaven. And so the scripture says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Jesus immediately identified who he is and stuff like that. And being that he identified, no doubt, Saul had no doubt, because he was persecuting the Christians or those of the way, he knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was and everything. And Jesus said to him, Jesus is whom thou persecutest. Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And it says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, you are going against something that you don't have the power or the authority to stop. You are trying to stop something that is already in motion. You're trying to stop something, Saul, that has already been designated, but already been appointed by the Almighty God, by the very God you said that you are serving, Saul. You're trying to bring something under subjection. You're trying to handicap something. You're trying to persecute something, and you can't do it because it's already a done deal. It has already been written down. You can't. It's hard for you to kick it against the prick. It is a thing that has been established. So if you didn't understand, I died for these things to take place. So I died on the cross. So for these things to take place and everything, and they will, and they are taking place. So you're in a no-win situation coming against the pricks. You're in a no-win situation coming against something that the Almighty God have already established. You're putting yourself in a very dangerous place there right now, Saul. You're putting yourself in a very dangerous place by doing what you're doing, by trying to go against something that has been established. Verse 6 says, and he trembling, that is Saul, acknowledged, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He came to his senses at that point and realized that he was looking at this the wrong way and realized that he could have been killed. But God spared his life because God had a purpose for him. He came to a realization that this was his Damascus experience and it would change him. He said, and trembling and astonished, now all of a sudden he believes. No doubt he believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now all of a sudden he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God. Because a light had to shine from heaven and he had to fall to the earth, and he had to tremble and be astonished before the Lord. Now he believed. The scripture says, he said, Lord, what would they thou help me to do? Isn't it something, when something like that take place, that's life-changing and earth-shattering? We are willing to call on God. We're willing to say, God, what would you have me to do? We're willing to do that. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Jesus gave him instructions. First thing he told him to do is get up and go into the city. This should be told what to do, it should get up, In fact, verse 9 said, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They hear the voice, But can you imagine the panic that was going on with them as they began to look around and didn't see nobody there, but they heard their voice? Can you imagine what was going on with them? Y'all, we know what's going on with Saul and everything. We know that he's having a Damascus experience, but I want to go a little bit further, that the men that were with him no doubt had a Damascus experience too, because if you hear somebody talking, okay, all around you, but you don't see nobody. It's just you and Saul. You're like, what? Do you hear that? Yes, I hear that. I can imagine them talking among themselves. Do you hear? How is this possible? And they hear that Jesus said, I am Jesus. Okay? So they are no longer in the blind also. They hear the what Jesus said to Saul. Because they see. They hear the voice. They don't see no man, but they hear the voice. They hear every detail of that conversation. The scripture says in verse 8, and Saul rose up from the earth. He got up, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. So in other words, he got up off the earth because Jesus said, Jesus told him, arise and get up and go to the city. So when he got up, he was blind. Okay? He was blind, y'all. He looked at when his eyes were open. He saw no man. His eyes was open, but he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. These guys was no doubt aware of what was going on, and they had the reverence because Jesus had spoken to Saul, but they heard him. So they were intentionally brought him to Damascus because they heard the instructions too. Yeah, arise and go into the city. And they know that Saul would make it on their own. So they was willing to help Saul get to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. And I want to take a little quick break right here when I think about this. Because to me, this means that he went on an instantaneous fast. He was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. No doubt they try to get him to eat something. I believe that when we have that, the type of experience where we hear in the voice of Lord Jesus calling us out to us, y'all, it takes away even our appetite. Because at that point, I believe, this is my personal opinion, that we have a zeal and desire to seek after the things of the Lord. He had a zeal and a desire to kill those that of the way. But now that zeal and desire had turned into Jesus Christ. He was willing to do whatever it takes and everything. He knew now and was astonished that even Jesus knew who he was. Y'all, Jesus knew who Saul was. Okay? It says that he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 9. And there was a certain, and this, we get the story here would take a different direction. Okay? All right. The scripture said there was a certain disciple. All right. He was a disciple at Damascus. He was in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. See, here we go again. God is calling someone's name. The Lord has said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. He recognized the voice of the Lord and said, I'm here, Lord. You know, how many times did God call our name, whether it's in a vision or dream, all right, or even a Saul type experience, and we don't recognize his voice, or we become fearful of the voice. But Ananias said, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, this is verse 11. The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. But behold, he prayed. Said, behold, he prayed. So it's given, God has given Ananias instructions already, but not just instructions. He even telling him where Saul is located at. Okay, he's telling him about the house of Judas. Okay, of Saul of Tarsus. He's telling him, I mean, this is what I like about God. He's even telling Ananias what Saul is doing at the time. He said, behold, he prayed. And the scripture goes on in verse 12, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Wait a minute. Now God is showing Saul all these details and showing and telling Ananias what's going to take place. Hallelujah.
what's going to take place. So in other words, God's telling an announcer, Saul has seen a vision. has seen a vision of you coming in to the house of the house of Judas. All right, on a street called straight, and putting your hands on him that he might receive his sight. Wow. Saul had a vision. Now, isn't that amazing? The same Saul that fell on the knees, man. The same Saul that didn't eat anything or drink anything for 3 days straight. The same Saul that was without sight for those 3 days. Here, you have seen visions and everything like that. He is knowing, expecting someone by the name of Ananias to come in. Okay? Verse 13 says, then Ananias answered the Lord, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints of Jerusalem. In other words, he's heard all the rumors. He's heard all the reports of everything that has taken place in Jerusalem by the hands of Saul. And it says that how he has have authority from the chief priests to ban all that call on their name. In other words, I know that he has received a letter from the chief priests to come here to Damascus and do the exact same thing that he was doing in Jerusalem. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He said, verse 16 said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. God gave him an announced instruction, go that way. Go. Don't be worried about all the stuff that he has done and all the things he has said and everything like that. Don't be worried about what kind of lattice he has to persecute the saints in where you at. Don't be in Damascus. Don't be worried about that. He's a chosen vessel unto me. I chose him. I didn't just call him, but I also chose him. You say, I chose him to bear my name before the Gentiles. This is what this Saul is going to do. He's going to go before the Gentiles, and he's going to go before the kings, and he's going to go before the children of Israel. I chose him. Some of us don't realize that we are chosen by God to do the things that we do. We are chosen by God to start that church. We are chosen by God to write that book. We are chosen by God to do certain things. We are chosen by God to do those things. Amen. We are chosen by God to do those things. We are chosen by God to go forth and to speak the oracles and the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is chosen. You know, he's not just called, but he is chosen to do a great work. Verse 16 says, again, he's doing it. He ain't doing it for himself, but he's doing it for my namesake. He don't realize I'm going to show him that he's going to suffer many things for my namesake. Some of us are wondering why we go through trials and tribulation and tests and all these things. We're doing it for the sake, for the God's namesake. You know, we can't be weary and well doing, but we got to stay focused and go through those things for the namesake. Verse 17, it says that Ananias went his way and entered to the house. He entered to the house of Judas, okay, on the street called straight. It doesn't say that, but I'm adding all that. Okay, put his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest and has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, we might be filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. He said, and arose and was baptized. You know, he got it all right there. Immediately, you know, instantaneously, that very second, it didn't take time that the scales had fallen from his eyes. And when he had received meat, he was straightened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He stayed with them. He came them to throw them in jail. He came there to kill them. He came there to destroy him. But the Damascus experience changed his life. Hallelujah. The Damascus experience completely changed his life. If there's a witness up there, and God did something for you or did something with you that completely changed your life. I don't know. Maybe it kept you from going to jail. I don't know. Maybe he healed your body. I don't know. Maybe he blessed you. Maybe he spared your son and your daughter. I don't know. And stuff like that. Maybe he made a way out of nowhere that was impossible and everything like that. But God was willing to change your life. You had that Damascus experience, and you have not been the same since. You have not been the same since in everything. No matter what other people are saying, how they talk about you, no matter how they feel about your past and everything, all the dirt and all the nasty things and everything you have done in your past, yeah, they still talking about your past, but you have become a new man there. You have become a new woman. You are not even nowhere close to what you used to be. You have a new look. You have a new walk because you had a Damascus experience. Because you had a Damascus experience, you ain't the same anymore. Everything about you has changed and everything like that. But the enemy is still going to speak against you because they still remember, you know, the people that you used to hang out with when you was in the club. They still remember what you used to do. Well, say, so-and-so is a preacher? Man, I remember when he used to sleep with a different woman every night. He a preacher now? Yeah. See, something happened in his life and he thought he was going to jail, or he went to jail and served 10 years. And when he got out of jail, he was not the same person. He was one of those people that have the Bible with him at all times. And if you catch him at any given day, he was always in prayer. Something happened in him that changed his life, that shook up his life to the point that all he wanted to do was to serve God. Yeah, that Damascus experience. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about you that had that Damascus experience. You know, you thought that you were serving God. And the truth of the matter, you weren't really serving him. You were just going through because your grandmother and your mother did it and stuff like that. You didn't have that personal relationship with him. But when you begin to have that personal relationship, something happened. Something changed in you. You were not the same. You were not the same. Amen. You were not the same. And verse 20, and we almost, verse 20 says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Hallelujah. That he is the Son of God. Talk about a testimony. Oh, man. I can hear the people in the synagogue looking. Is this Paul? Is this Saul? Who is this? Wait a minute. This is the same guy that killed. He talking about Jesus, the Christ is the Son of God. What took place? There were probably no doubt many questions. There were no doubt many that doubted the sincerity. Many they probably thought it was a trick. Many that thought that yeah, he got an angle. He just had to get us to let our guards down. But they didn't understand again that a Damascus experience had taken place in Saul. They didn't understand that. Verse 21 says, but all the head, hear this right here. It says, all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in the Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound into the salt chief priest? There it is right there. This is what they're thinking. This is what they're talking about. You know, they were amazed. I can imagine like, what in the world is going on here? How is this happening? Wait a minute, what has happened to you? Like I said, all the questions that they might have and everything, all the different questions and concerns, they didn't trust Saul at the time. They probably didn't really want to be around him because they didn't know whether he was going to revert back to the older ways. You know how we do and stuff like that. When somebody come to Christ, there was used to be able to cuss some people out like a seller and everything. And all of them, when they found Christ, they don't cuss anymore. You wait for the other shoe to drop. Let's be for real about this thing. You waiting for the other shoe to drop. You waiting for the other shoe to drop. He said, but they was amazed. They said they was amazed. And they heard him and were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Is this the one that was coming after us? You know, they didn't understand that Saul had changed. They didn't understand that he had a Damascus experience. They didn't understand that. They didn't get that. but he was not the same. he was not the same. He was not the same when he fell on his knees. The Lord, what would you have me to do? He was not the same, y'all. God had changed his name also. Let's continue to read on and stuff. We're almost done, okay? But so, it's, scripture says, the verse Acts chapter 9, verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which said dwelt at Damascus, proved that this is the very Christ. But Saul increased more in strength. In other words, he got more bolder and more bolder day by day. He increased his strength and confounded the very Jews which were at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. You know, all that, the education and all the being under Gamaliel and all that kind of stuff, you know. Saul began to prove that Jesus Christ was the Christ. And the scripture says in verse 23, all because of Damascus experience that he had. Verse 23 says that after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Wait a minute. The Jews took counsel to kill him. He was no longer on the same page that they were. And everything. They were not happy of the way that was taking place, that was spreading throughout the region. So they took counsel to kill him. To take counsel means that they all gathered their heads together and said, yeah, we got to take this guy out and everything like that. You know, we got to take him out. We don't know what happened to him and stuff like that. But we're trying to say one thing, and he's saying something entirely different. I don't know what did happen to the letter. What happened to the authority that had been given to him by the high priest? We got to take him out. We got to take him out. Amen. It says, but their laying of weight was known to Saul. Okay. The scripture said their laying of weight was known to Saul. Okay. Yeah. Amen. This is my show now. It says, but then, hold on a second, y'all. I got some feedback. Amen. Let me do this. Just, so give me one second. I just want to make sure that I'm still recording. All right, give me a second. But we're almost done, all right? We're almost done, amen. The scripture says, verse 9, chapter 24, but they're laying, amen. Okay, here we go. But their laying of weight was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in the basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he came back to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. Yeah. They did not believe it. But here's in verse 27, said, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. There's the word, in the way. And that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, y'all, I got this allergies kicking in. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him too. Okay, everybody try to slay this dude. Okay. And they went about to slay him. Verse 36, in which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest. To all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the company of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. It's an example of taking your enemy and everything and turning him into someone that loved God. God did that. Took the enemy of the people, changed his heart. You know, took his stony heart and made it flesh. Gave him the heart of Jesus Christ and completely changed his life. Amen. What I often say, a Damascus experience will change your life. It will change your life. Amen. So, y'all, I'm done, man. I think I'll be able to finish it. But, man, look, this is the time. What's your experience? You know, what's your moment?
You know, what's the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ in your life and he became your Lord and Savior? What's the moment that you received the blessedness of the Holy Spirit? What's the moment? What's the moment you know you're saved, but you know you play at church, you 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and all the things, something took place, and you're just like, okay, God, I will serve you until the day I die. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. So y'all be blessed, man. We are completed. Thank you for listening in and everything. And God bless you. And know that I love you. Amen. God bless you. Amen.